One of the more amusing things about the 2024 presidential election, at least in retrospect, is the fact that incumbent President Joe Biden and therefore also Vice President Kamala Harris have been presiding over an America that has produced more oil and natural gas than at any point in time in our entire history. And yet no one wanted to talk about this. Biden and Harris couldn't talk about it because they were ashamed of this fact. They were scared of losing the environmentalist vote if they talked about it. Obviously, Republicans didn't want to talk about it, didn't want to give credit to Harris and Biden for this honestly pretty great accomplishment. But now that we've got an incoming Republican administration under former and now president-elect Donald Trump, you've got, I think, an interesting turning point here, an interesting pivot point maybe in U.S. energy policy, and that's what we're going to take a look at today. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. My guest today is Philip Rossetti. He's a resident senior fellow at the R Street Institute and a regular guest here on the show. He writes and talks about energy policy for R Street. You can find his work at rstreet.org, and he joins us now. Sorry for that long-winded intro there, Philip. Thanks for taking some time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about where things could go from this unusual pivot point. Trump is going to come in and inherit a country that's already kind of maxing, well, maybe not maxing out, but already, you know, certainly producing a lot of oil and gas. And now there's the chance to really push that envelope even further.
Yeah, I definitely expect things to be trending in a more permissive direction for oil and gas production in the United States under Trump. Just because when you look at Biden's record, a lot of oil and gas got produced under his term, but that was largely in spite of his policies, not because of them. I mean, one of Biden's first moves was restricting drilling permits on public lands, and he issued moratoria on leases. Those are moves that Trump would reject heavily. He's probably going to try to expand as much leasing and drilling as possible. But there's also an issue of permitting for related infrastructure, and that's an area where Trump is likely to be friendlier to new infrastructure development.
Talk some more about what those changes could look like. And I mean, I think maybe the most important thing for the Trump administration is going to be to make changes that will be lasting, things that will go beyond and that will encourage more development, you know, beyond just the next couple of years.
Right. So I think the really interesting thing to watch is going to be any potential changes on the regulatory front that would affect infrastructure in that area. So one reason that gasoline prices were so high for much of the Biden administration is that refining capacity is actually pretty low in the United States. We've had refinery closures, and there hasn't been much investment in that. So one reason for that is there was a big signal from the Biden administration of, hey, don't invest in gasoline refining because there are going to be electric vehicle mandates and such. And that was a regulatory mechanism. But there's also the kind of question of, okay, what regulations are there on actually adding new refinery capacity? There are these regulations called new source review, et cetera. And under the Biden administration, he basically rewrote the rules for how regulatory benefits would be calculated. So there are all these guidelines saying, okay, if you're getting this much pollution reduction, how do you quantify that? And Biden's administration essentially said, we're going to use lower discount rates and we're going to assume higher benefits. Therefore, we can justify more regulatory burden. That's something I expect the Trump administration to unwind. And that's going to make it a lot more permissive for the regulatory regime to say, hey, you know, we're looking only at your actual pollution rather than an estimate or rosy estimation of those benefits.
We're talking with Philip Rossetti, resident senior fellow at the R Street Institute. You can check out his work at rstreet.org, including his latest commentary piece here, looking at the future of energy policy after the 2024 election. Philip, I want to get you out of here on this. I mean, sort of the thing you were just talking about there, and certainly, you know, environmental groups are not big fans of Donald Trump and will probably oppose most of the things that the Trump administration tries to do in this regard. But as you point out in this piece, and I think this is really interesting, pollution of all types, including carbon dioxide, actually fell during the previous four years of the Trump administration. So I think that's an interesting dynamic here that adds some important context to whatever happens over the next few years. The idea here being that it's, you know, more capacity, more refinery capacity, all of that doesn't necessarily translate into more pollution and worse outcomes for the environment. You can have more energy and a better environment at the same time.
If you look at the trend of air pollution, it's just this kind of steady line going down. And part of that is because it's also cheaper to address those forms of air pollution, and you have improving efficiency in the industries that generate those air pollutants. On the carbon dioxide front, what's interesting is there's this idea of like carbon intensity, which is how much carbon dioxide is emitted relative to your energy consumption. And as the economy grows, you actually have an improving carbon intensity because you're getting more economic output relative to your energy inputs. And one of the very kind of unique things is if you look at the carbon intensity trends, they don't change that much from president to president, even though you see these kind of big swings in the actual emissions level. And a good reason that might be is because the growth changes in the economy are affected heavily by the economic policy. So Obama had very weak growth, and that's why you saw this decline, but you didn't see a big improvement in carbon intensity. And then under Trump, you had a good improvement in carbon intensity, and the high growth essentially showed that the emissions still went down because of that.
Yeah, as with so many things, a growing economy is really more important than any sort of regulation you can put in place. That economic growth allows for all sorts of good things to happen. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today, but many more good things to come and to talk about with you in the future, I hope, Philip. Thanks for taking some time with us here.
Thanks for having me.
And again, that's Philip Rossetti, Resident Senior Fellow for Energy Policy at the R Street Institute. Find his work at rstreet.org. Check out our ongoing coverage of the election's aftermath and the transition and all of the news coming out of D.C. this week at reason.com. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Baim. Catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.